God's word for our consideration this evening. God's word to guide us. God's word to feed us. God's word to nourish us is from the gospel according to St. Matthew at the end of his book, the 28th chapter, and one single verse. This is when the women came to the tomb. They had walked up to the tomb and was going to anoint Jesus' body. And they saw that the tomb was already open. And as they were filled with joy, this one verse, suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. So far, God's word for our consideration this evening. So I want you to think about your life. The life that you live here in the world as a child of God, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. When you think about your eyes, what do you think about? You think about looking at things and seeing things, seeing the beauty of God's creation. You think about reading that novel, or reading the magazine, or reading the newspaper, or reading the computer. So you think that your eyes are very precious to you. But what about your hands? You use your hands to do many things. Women, you use your hands to make food or bake. And, you know, we used to shovel snow, or not now because it's nice and warm, but we use shovels in the garden or whatever. We use our hands to do many things. We think about all of those things that we have. We think about our sight. We think about our ears, how we hear and what we hear. We think about all those things. But there's one thing that we do not think about. We really don't see it either. When you're watching TV and you see a commentator up there, you usually don't see one part of the body. That part is the feet. We really don't concentrate on the feet. But the three lessons had the feet in them. How beautiful on the mountain are those who bring good news. Those are great feet that bring the message of Jesus Christ. And then the gospel lesson, Jesus gets up, he takes the towel with which he's girded with, he takes the basin of water, and he kneels to the disciples. And he takes their feet to wash their feet. You see, the custom in the Jewish customs tradition is that when they walked into a house, there was a basin of water and there was a towel. And the host would come up to the guest who was coming in and wash that guest's feet so the feet were clean. Because they walked in with open sandals, you know, and so they got dust and dirt and muck and mire and all that sort of thing on their feet. So that was the custom of washing the feet. But as we apply that custom, as we apply the feet to our life, I want you to imagine that you yourself, your feet, are stuck in the muck and the mire and the concrete, because they are. They stuck in the mire of sin, because we commit sins every single day of our lives. Our feet are buried within those sins. Buried. Can't be pulled out. No matter how hard we try, we cannot pull our feet out of the muck and the mire of sin. And we remember Paul saying in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. We don't like to think about that. We don't like to think about our feet being mired in the concrete of sin. But they are. Every single day we sin. We sin by thought, word, and deed. So our feet are stuck in the muck and the mire of sin. Our lives are covered with that muck. Our feet are dirty and stinky. Need to be washed, need to be cleansed. And as we think about that, there's only one who can cleanse our feet. We try to rub in the toes, we try to rub, but thinking that if we rub out those toes and those feet, the sin will wash away. There's only one who comes to clean our feet. And that's Jesus. Jesus bends down himself and takes the basin of water. He has the towel of grace and mercy and forgiveness. And he washes our feet. And he washes them clean. He washes those feet clean of sin and the muck and the mire that has encased us and encased those feet. And he takes them gently in his hands and he dips them into the water and he rubs them clean with that grace and forgiveness and life everlasting. And he brings them out and he washes them or wipes them with that clean towel. And then he says, you are forgiven of all your sins. Go and sin no more. And so we get up. We get up from that seat after having our feet washed and cleaned and dried. And we walk out and we do the same thing all over again. Those feet get so stuck, so dirty, so filthy with all the sin that we commit. And we come back again to Jesus. And he has us sit down gently. He doesn't count the sin against us. He takes those feet once again. And he puts them in the basin. And he washes them. And he dries them with his love and his grace. And he continues to say that he will be with us no matter what happens. And that he was the one, because he was the one who had faithful feet for us. Think about Jesus and those feet that he had and how he walked to Mount Calvary carrying the cross and stumbling because of his feet wouldn't hold him up. He did that for us, so that we would have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And he walked all the way to Mount Calvary, where he was placed on the cross. And as he was placed on the cross, you could feel the nails going through his hands and then stretching out his feet, because they didn't want him to be able to collapse his feet on that platform, that little platform that they had, so that he could keep breathing. They wanted to stretch that chest cavity so he would suffocate. So they nailed his feet above the platform. The feet that became bloody and dirty for you and me, for all of our sins, for all of our life. And so now he tells us that those feet and that blood was shed for each and every one of us. And after that was shed for us, he says, now you are cleansed. And now you have beautiful feet. You are to take that message with the feet that you have been given and take it to other people so that they may hear about the Christ who suffered, the Christ who died, but the Christ who rose from the dead to give us everlasting life and forgiveness of sins, because you now are a messenger of Jesus. In Christ's holy name, amen.